deal. I can handle it. It is good. It is fine. Nobody's going to know. It's not going to be a problem. Y comenzaron con unas dudas como nosotros podamos vencer sobre el pecado en nuestras propias vidas por medio de nuestras propias esfuerzas. Y dice, bueno, no, sí está bien, pues nadie va a saber. No, es inocente, nomás es un poquito. Pero así comienza, paso a paso, y el pecado puede dominar a nuestras vidas antes que nos podemos entender. So before we can even know, sin comes in and it begins slowly and it becomes a process. James chapter 1, Santiago capítulo 3 in the New Testament. Let's look at that briefly, James chapter 1. And these are all the key verses about sin and the sin that you and I fight every day. James chapter 1 and then verse 13. It says, when tempted, no man should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Notice the it starts off innocent, little by little, just an attraction, and then a lust, and then a desire, and then an action, and then a sin, and then eventually its result is death. And death is separation from God, separation from each other. People who live in sin and who act in sin are alone. And they find themselves alone from God and alone from the very people that they hurt. And so it says, que nadie al ser tentado diga, es Dios que me tienta, porque Dios no puede ser tentado por el mal, ni tampoco tiene él a nadie. Todo lo contrario, cada uno es tentado cuando sus propios malos deseos lo arrastran y seducen. Luego, cuando el deseo ha concebido, engendra el pecado, y el pecado, una vez que ha sido consumado, da la luz a la muerte. Y la muerte es separación entre nosotros y separación entre nosotros y nuestro Dios. Hermanos, el objeto del diablo es para destruirnos. Y la manera que él lo hace es causar nosotros a hacer un largo distancia de Dios, de separar nuestra relación con Dios, de separar nuestra relación con nuestra familia, nuestros amigos y nuestra familia de fe. Es el propósito. You know, the thing about sin is if you think about sin, sin looks so innocent, but it is out to destroy us. You know, if you are a fisherman and you want to catch fish, you need to become the friend of fish. Si tú eres un pescador y quieres pescar y comer pez, pues tú no debes que estar un amigo de los peces. You have to give the fish something to eat. Hay que darle al pez algo de comer, ¿verdad? Y si tu intento es de agarrar esta pez, pues debe que ser lo más posible de darle un comida que le gustan, que le atraen, que parece que es algo que satisface su estómago, right? So if you're going to catch a fish, what you need to do is you need to have something that looks exactly like what they like to eat. And I have a picture here of a bait here. And you can see how it looks exactly like a delicious piece of fish, doesn't it? In fact, it swims like a fish. It acts like a fish. It's in the right water, in the right place. You put it where the fish want to be. Y si quiere agarrar un pez, hay que usar algo que parece que es su comida y está en el lugar correcto. En el nivel de agua que es correcto por este tipo de pez. You know, if you want to go hunting for bass, you put the bass bait out there. If you want to go for the trout, you put the trout bait out there. And it looks exactly like what they want to eat. El problema, hermanos, que siempre tiene un gancho, ¿verdad? There always is a hook to that. And once you take the bait, and once you begin to eat, and then once you begin to swallow, cuando usted comienza a comer, pues poquito a poco, en primer lugar dice, pues no tengo hambre. Y siempre está ahí. Pues no tengo hambre, no me interesa. Pues se ve bien. Y luego comience a comer. And then as soon as you've taken it, muy pronto el pescador arranque así. And then before you know it, that fisherman just pulls that bait into your mouth and your throat, and then you are caught. And this is what it looks like once you are caught. There you go. Right there. That's a fish that took the bait and is now out of the water, out of the environment, separated from his environment, separated the sea. Ahora, este pez está separado de su familia, de su hogar, de todos sus amistades, porque él ha cometido el pecado, fue engañado. This fish has been tricked. It has swallowed the bait, and it is gone, and it is done. Hermanos, every sin in your life looks like the right thing. That's why we commit those sins. Cada pecado, hermanos, que está en nuestra vida, parece que es bien, parece que es bueno por nosotros. You know, we just start, and all it takes is one little drink, one little smoke, one little drag, one little time of being away from where we're not supposed to be, talking with whom we're not supposed to talk to, in the wrong place and in the wrong time. Solo requiere nomás un breve momento, hermanos, de estar en un lugar que es mal, con persona que hace mal, y así comience. Y el fin, hermanos, es la muerte. So then how do we deal with sin? Because it's real and it is all around us. Entonces, la problema es, y la pregunta es, entonces, ¿qué haremos, hermanos? Si el pecado, el intento de pecado es para matarnos, destruirnos y separarnos de Dios. Pues hermanos, Dios nos ha dado algo que es bueno por nosotros y es la palabra del Señor. Hermanos, the word of God will keep you from being tricked, and the word of God will keep you from being deceived. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Hermanos, vamos a voltear, regresar a Mateo capítulo 4, versículo 1. Para entender este mensaje. Notice Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil gave him something that looked right. Y cuando el diablo vino a Cristo, lo presentó con una opción y también una tentación. Porque después de un ayuno de 40 días, el Señor tuvo hambre. Y no es solo un hambre pues pequeño, pero un hambre muy grande, muy profundo, después de 40 días, puedes imaginar. And so after this great hunger that he had, he said, you know what, you're God, and God can do anything. And so if you're hungry, just take these stones and turn them into bread, and you can satisfy your stomach with everything. And what he said was, you have power, but use the power to satisfy and to please yourself. Now Jesus was hungry. He needed to satisfy himself. He needed to please himself. But he was not going to misuse the power of God for himself. It looked honest. It looked real. It was a real need. Everybody has to eat. Everybody gets hungry. If you don't eat, you die. And so it looked real. It looked right. But notice how Jesus responded. Aunque parece que era inocente, miren la manera que Cristo respondió. Cristo respondió de esta manera. Dijo, escrito está. Y él comenzó a hacer una cita de Deuteronomio y los Salmos. Dice, no solo de pan vive el hombre, sino de toda palabra que sale de la boca de Dios. Notice what he said. He said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, this Bible will help you to discern what is good and what is evil. It will help you discern what looks right, but is not right. La Biblia, la palabra del Señor, lo que está escrito, hermanos, nos ayude a discernir lo que es bueno y lo que es falso, lo que es santo y lo que es impuro. And that's what the Word of God is. So everything that Jesus did, he put it up to the Word of God, and he said, no, Satan, it is written. It is written. In other words, Jesus took the Old Testament and said, the purpose of the Old Testament is to obey God, to honor God, to follow God, and to live for God. You know, the other day, my son called me from college, and he was studying in the university. Otro día, mi hijo me llamó porque él está tomando una clase de la Biblia, y comenzó el profesor a decir pues unas preguntas, y las preguntas nos causaron un poquito de confusión en su mente. So my son was a little confused. He called me. He said, "Dad, do you really believe that there was a Tower of Babel? And do you really believe, Dad, that there was a flood? Is it possible that maybe these were just stories that were made up? I mean, what do you do with that, Dad?" Y cuando él comenzó a hacer unas preguntas, porque tenía un poquito de duda después de esa clase y lo que está diciendo su profesor. Quizás no es totalmente la verdad. Quizás en el Toro de Babel no era verdad. O la historia de Noé y diluvio, pues no es correcto. Quizás es una buena historia. And so he began to question these things, and I said to him, "Son, I'm glad you asked me that, because it's good that you know what your father believes. In fact, it's good that you know what your mother believes. It's good that you know what your church believes. Es bueno que usted entiende lo que cree su papá y su mamá, y también que creemos en la iglesia. Es bueno. Pero ¿sabes qué, mijo? No le importa lo que crees tu papá. No le importa lo que crees tu mamá. No le importa lo que crees su iglesia, lo que es importante. Y el único cosa que les importa es lo que Cristo cree." See, the only thing that you don't worry about what your dad or your mom or your sister or your brother or your church or your school or your friends. Don't worry about what they believe. We need to be concerned about what Jesus believed. And Jesus said, "It is written." And when Jesus said, "It is written," you know what? Jesus believed in the Tower of Babel. He believed in Noah. Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. He believed in Abraham. He believed in David. Cristo creyó en todos los eventos del Antiguo Testamento. Él creyó en todo de Babel. Pues hay ciertas personas que dicen, pues no existía. Pues ¿cómo? Pues ¿cómo es que no podemos creer algo que es tan viejo, esas historias? Cristo así creyó. Y en esta porción de la Escritura está enseñando a nosotros, tú y yo podemos confiar en la palabra del Señor. Cristo fue tentado en términos reales, pero nunca pecó, porque Él es perfecto, perfectamente Dios, perfectamente humano. Y si Dios tomó ventaja de su poder por sí mismo, Él sea igual como el diablo, porque el diablo tomó por su propia ventaja sus poderes celestiales. You know, that's what Satan did. Satan was the highest angel up next to God. He was the highest. And he took the glory of God for his own glory. And he took the power that God had given him for his own power. And he took everything for himself, for himself, for himself. And so God threw Satan out of heaven. He landed on earth, and Satan lives here on earth. And Satan is committed to get you and I to take our power, our gifts, our talents, and use them on ourselves. And if we do that, then we have swallowed the bait, and we are believing what Satan wants us to do. Entonces, si usamos nuestro propio poder, nuestro propio talento, por nuestros propios deseos, somos igual, tenemos el mismo voluntad que Satanás. And when we do that, Satan's got us. We have talents, we have gifts, we have skills, we have ability, we have money, we have cars, we have all these things. And yet we constantly party and feed ourselves, feed ourselves, feed ourselves, and we die. The Lord says there's another way. You see, God gave Jesus the Word of God to keep Jesus from sin. So the next time you get tempted, hermanos, remember, it is written. Don't do that. It's not that God is against sex. It's not that God is against pleasure. It's not that God is against food. He wants everything to be done in its appropriate place at the right time, in the right way, so that way we might truly enjoy the things that God has given us. No es porque Dios está contra el sexo, contra comida, contra todas esas cosas. Él está cuidando de nosotros. Y cuando usemos las cosas que Dios nos ha dado para compartir con otros, para usar por su gloria, sí nos podemos disfrutar en una manera que es correcto. And that's what God simply is saying. So the Word of God keeps us from sin as it keeps Jesus from sin. And so we are to remember, it is written. Second of all, the Word of God keeps believers from sin. And you and I need to learn how to use the Word of God in our life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Vamos a voltear, hermanos, Efesios capítulo 16 y versículo 17. The Word of God keeps believers from sin. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Y además de todo esto, tomen el escudo de la fe, con el cual pueden agradar todo, apagar todas las flechas encendidas de maligno. Tomen el casco de la salvación y la espada del Espíritu, que es la palabra del Señor. Hermanos, el enemigo de nuestras almas va a mandar cosas que parecen que son buenos, pero no son buenos para nosotros. The enemy will sell counterfeit things into our lives. Things that look right, things that smell good, things that taste right. And sometimes we know they're wrong, but that temptation and that power and that fear comes upon us, and it is so strong. But God gives us the Word of God to deflect and to come against those powers and those temptations when we stay in the Word of God. The Bible says, take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when Satan attacks you and condemns you and tricks you and comes across to tempt you, you say, no, Satan, it is written. And although I would like to, I cannot, because it is written, and I will be obedient to God like a soldier. These are all military terms. Esos son términos militares. Del escudo, de la espada, del yelmo, todo eso son como militar. Y tú y yo somos como soldados. Y el Señor nos ha dado todas las armas, todas las defensas necesarias para combatir lo que es falso en nuestras vidas. And so we need to know how to learn it. The other day I was out in the foyer, and one of the kids had one of those, I don't know what it was, a little tablet or something. And he was writing that thing, and he was moving that thing, and he was, you know, the flames and the whatever it was, the things that was coming at him, he was doing all this kind of stuff, and he was going through that. And I was like, man, you're pretty good. You're pretty good at that. Things coming at him so fast, and he was moving out of the way, and he was ducking, and he was going through all of these obstacles. And I thought, oh, how I wish we could train ourselves in the Word of God like that. I wish that we would, when temptation would come, we would know where in the Bible to find that verse that encourages us. When deception comes, that we would be able to find that verse that clears up our mind and our hearts. When we become weak and we become discouraged and we become beat up, that we'll be able to go and find that verse that's going to give us strength and encouragement. Quizás nosotros podemos hallar el versículo que es perfecto para animarlos, para equiparnos para esta batalla tan grande. Y cuando estamos desanimados, nos podemos encontrar un versículo que es dar el ánimo de seguir adelante. That's what we need to do. We need to be trained in the arms and in the weapons that God has given us. And that's why we have Sunday school. And that's why we have life groups. And that's why we have prayer. And that's why we have Sunday school. And that's why we have all of these things that we do here in our church, because we are training you in the weapons of righteousness that God has for you. And unfortunately, there are many Christians who just get wiped out by the enemy. There are many Christians who've never learned the Word of God, who never know how to walk in the Word of God, who never know how to pray, who never know how to find things in the Scripture. And if you are someone like that, then you need to go to a mature Christian and say, show me in the Word how to do this. Teach me how to walk. Teach me what you know. Help me walk along the way so I can be strong like you are strong. The Word of the Lord keeps believers from sin. And there's a third thing. The Word of the Lord keeps the church from sin. The last one was individual. Now we're talking about corporate. You and I together as the church, the Word of God has been given to us so that way the church can move forward and we can advance and we can do the things that God has commanded the church to do. Let's take a look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through 15. Tito capítulo 2 está en el Nuevo Testamento después de primer y de segundo Timoteo. After 1st and 2nd Timothy, there's a small little book there called Titus. And if you'll look in chapter 2 and verses 11 through 15. Now notice how Paul is talking to the church. He says, church, I want you to know that there's going to be problems and temptations in the church, and let me show you how you address those. Cuando Pablo está escribiendo y diciendo a su iglesia, mire, en su iglesia habrá problemas, pero déjame darte una receta para combatir contra esos errores. Titus chapter 2, and then in verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. En verdad, versículo 1, Tito capítulo 2, Dios ha manifestado a toda la humanidad su gracia, la cual trae salvación y nos enseña y rechazar a la impiedad y las pasiones mundanas. Así podremos vivir en este mundo con justicia, piedad y dominio propio, mientras aguardamos la bendita esperanza, es decir, la gloriosa venida de nuestro gran Dios y Salvador Jesucristo. Él se entregó por nosotros para rescatarnos de toda maldad y purificar para sí un pueblo elegido dedicado a hacer el bien." Y mire lo que dice 15. "Esto es lo que debes enseñar. Exhorta y reprenda con toda autoridad, que nadie te menosprecie." El último versículo dice, eso es lo que debes enseñar, exhortar y reprender con toda autoridad. Hermanos, la palabra de Dios es nuestra autoridad. Y cuando Cristo dijo, está escrito, fue la autoridad por Cristo Jesús. La autoridad sobre el diablo era la palabra del Señor. Hermanos, la autoridad en mi vida es la palabra de Dios. La autoridad por nosotros como una iglesia es la palabra de Dios. So the authority for Jesus was the Bible, it was the Old Testament, it was the Word of God. The authority for believers is the Bible, and we use the Bible to combat sin in our personal lives and in our private lives. And then for the church, for all of us together as one body of Christ, we are to teach the Word of God. We are to encourage in the Word of God. We are to warn our brothers and sisters about things that are going on in their lives, their blind spots, the things that they don't see. So that way they might become all that they've ever wanted to be as a Christian. They might experience the beauty and the joy and the freedom of knowing Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church, hermanos, is to teach, to exhort, to admonish, and to encourage. So if your pastor pulls you aside and says, you know, this is not a good thing that I see you going on in your life, not because he hates you, it's not because I'm the referee and I'm throwing the yellow flag or the red card in your life. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm encouraging you to stay faithful and true to the authority that is the Word of God. Entonces, por nosotros, hermanos, nuestro llamamiento es que el Señor nos ha dado, hermanos, la autoridad para entender lo que es por nosotros de seguir adelante. And so the Lord gives us that encouraging word. Where is your authority, hermanos? ¿Dónde está tu autoridad, hermanos? ¿Qué es la autoridad? ¿Qué estás escuchando? What voices are you hearing? What things are you looking for? What are the things that are happening in your life? It should be the Word of God, and only the Word of God. El único cosa, hermanos, que debe que ser su autoridad es la palabra del Señor. La única cosa que puede salvar su alma es la palabra del Señor. Y la única cosa que pueden ayudarle en tiempo de tentación es la palabra del Señor. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, we want to ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to understand what the Word is, to seek you with all of our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in what we do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us your Word.